Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of John's Gospel. Very familiar chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 3. We want to read some verses from this passage of God's Word, John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse number 1. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto Jesus, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, or unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. We end our reading there, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this, Thy precious Word. And I pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt, Lord, direct our thoughts tonight just to the very heart of the message of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus. We pray that our God, that Thou wilt remind us of a great truth that we find here in Thy precious, Thy Holy Word that needs to stir our hearts. And O God, I pray that this vital necessity might, Lord, be backed home to each and every one in this gathering tonight. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in this preacher. Help me, our God, to preach thy word with simplicity and yet with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that the words may not be the words of man, but, O God, I pray that it might be the word of the living God. And tonight, Lord, we pray that it might come home to the hearts by the anointing power of the Spirit of truth. Lord, answer prayer tonight. Save precious souls in this gathering. Turn them from sin's darkness to light and unto Christ himself. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm sure you'll agree with me that John 3 is one of the most familiar passages of God's Word. In that passage of God's Word, you have the most familiar text, I suppose, that one could ever preach on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And yet, whilst we know the verse, the reality is this, is so few people realize just the context in which the verse was actually set. Knew that great text, John 3:16, is actually, in fact, the message that the Lord Jesus Christ brought to Nicodemus. It was actually to Nicodemus that the Lord Jesus Christ first spoke those words, John 3:16. And friend, we have a conversation here between the Lord Jesus and a man called Nicodemus. And I want us, as we open the scriptures tonight, just to glean certain things here. And I want you to keep your Bibles open and follow me, because we're just going to base it simply upon the text that God has given us in this passage of God's Word. Notice, first of all, the man. It says in verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Now we find that the Spirit of God gives us the name of the man. His name is Nicodemus. But what do we know about him? What do we know about the man? You see, this is not a parable. The Lord Jesus is not telling a parable here. And this is not a fictional character here. This is actually a man. It says, there was a man. And so we're directed in this passage of God's word to a particular man and a particular interview and conversation he had with the Lord Jesus. Now, what does the Bible tell us about the man? First of all, the Bible tells us he was religious. Because in verse number 1 it says, there was a man of the Pharisees. Now, whenever we think about the Pharisees in the Scriptures, we find in the New Testament that the Pharisees are often mentioned. The Pharisees were the most conservative religious movement at that time in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we can see here, whilst this man was religious, he was not a child of God. In other words, he was religious, but he was lost. Now, the Pharisees were very strict in their religion. They were very strict, as it were, in the externals of religion. They weren't equally concerned about the internal. But they were always very careful about the outward appearance. They were careful how that they reacted, how they walked, how they prayed, they tithed, they washed themselves. In other words, they were ritualistic. They had a ritual of religion. And they were very, very conservative in their way. And yet, with all the religion, they were very bitter against the Lord Jesus Christ. In actual fact, you'll find that quite often they were very vicious on their attacks upon the blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, the Lord Jesus would remind them that man looketh on the outward appearance, and God looks in the heart. And of course, they were concerned about the outward appearance. They were very religious on the outward appearance. But their heart was as dark as sin, with sin as dark as hell itself. You see, these Pharisees, they felt superior. They really felt in their religion that they were superior to others. Remember the man who was the Pharisee who went to the temple? And alongside him there, there was standing in the temple the publican. Do you remember the time the Pharisee, he prayed? Now, of course, he didn't bow his head. He wasn't humble. He wasn't humble before the Lord. He just looked to heaven. And this is what he told God. He says, you know, God, he says, I am so thankful I'm not like as other men are. I'm not like them. I'm not even like that old publican over there. And you see, friend, he felt that in his religion, he was superior to other people. Now, we have a lot of religious people in Ulster. And the sad reality is this, friend, they're religious but lost. They have a formality. They go through their rituals. They have a formality of religion. In actual fact, quite often they feel superior to others. They really think that they are superior in their religion, in their religiosity. This man was religious. The second thing about him, he was not only religious, he was a ruler. Look at the verse number 1 again. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And what that means is this. He was a man of position. People looked up to him in society. You see, he was one of a group of around 70 men who actually were made up the Sanhedrin, or the Jewish parliament. He was one of the religious leaders in Israel. He had not only been religious in himself, but he was in a position of authority. The Bible says he was a ruler of the Jews. And then the third thing I want you to notice about him, he was not only religious, he was not only a ruler, he was respected. He was respected. Look at verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? I want you to notice something. That word master means a teacher. In actual fact, you'll notice what the Lord Jesus, how it is put by the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus says, art thou a master? A master. He was not just one of them. He was a master. And the emphasis there, he was a great teacher. What we have here is the excellence of Nicodemus as a teacher. He was highly respected. He had got a great intellectual understanding. He was a man that was gifted in the scriptures. He was a master in Israel. And yet with all these things, friend, he was still lost. You can have all of these things, friend, and still die in your sin. You can be a ruler, you can be respected, you can be religious and still be lost in your sin and go to hell. Now there's something else about this man. In actual fact, he was rational. Because if you look there in verse number 2, it says, the same came to Jesus by night. So therefore he reasoned out something in his heart. You see, with all that this man had, friend, he wasn't satisfied. There was something missing in this man's life. And somehow he realized it was the Lord Jesus Christ who had got the answer to what he was searching for. And in his rational thinking, the Bible says he came to Jesus. Thank God he did. He came to Jesus. Now, friend, what would make a man of a Pharisees who was bitter against the Lord Jesus, what would make him come to Jesus? That surely tells me, friend, that there's something in his heart. There's a dissatisfaction with all his religion. He's not satisfied. It means he's searching. He's still searching for someone. Maybe there's someone here tonight. And friend, before God, you've gone to religious services. You've gone to meeting after meeting. But whatever you have, you're not satisfied because there's something missing. There's something missing deep in your soul. This one wasn't the external anymore. This was internal. This was something that drove a man that was amongst a religious grouping that hated the Lord Jesus Christ, that would make him come to the Lord Jesus. That speaks to me that his heart is breaking inside. He's tried religion. He's tried his rituals. But he knows he hasn't got what he needs. There's a longing inside his soul that drives this man to Jesus. And thank God he was rational to say, Christ is the answer. I need to get to Jesus. And I pray that the Spirit of God, friend, will show you that tonight. That no matter how much religion you have, friend, you're still lost. No matter how much you're respected in society and people may give you position and may look upon you as somebody great in society, if you're lost in your sin, you die and go to hell. And I pray the Spirit of God tonight will give you that rational reasoning tonight to say, I need Jesus. I need to go to Jesus. I'll tell you something else about this man. He was not only religious. He was not only a ruler. He was not only respected. He was not only rational. He was respectful. And what I mean by that is this. Look at what he says to the Lord Jesus. Look in verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now, friend, let me tell you. Coming from a background of hatred against the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he said to Jesus was Rabbi. It was a polite statement. It was a sincere statement. In actual fact, it was a respectful statement. Because the word Rabbi was used to speak respectfully of a teacher. It was a courteous term of genuine respect. He said, Rabbi. We know. Now, that's interesting. Notice he didn't say, I know. He says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Do you know why, friend? Because honestly, this man, he was hiding behind others. He was using we know. He didn't say, I know. He was one that was sheltering behind the conclusions of others. He wasn't willing to open his heart and show the Lord his emptiness and his loneliness and his despair. So therefore he says, we know. And then he said this. He says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now let me tell you, my friend. Jerusalem was filled with teachers. And he didn't need another. He didn't need another teacher. Let me make this clear to you, friend. The saved need a teacher. The lost need a preacher. Those who are saved need to be taught in the ways of the Lord. Those that are lost need the preaching of the Word of God. That's why Paul said to Timothy, he says, Timothy, preach the Word. Preach it. Preach the Word that will expose man's sin and point them to the Savior. You see, Jerusalem was filled with teachers. But that's not what he needed. He needed a Savior. And friend, tonight, let me tell you this. That's the one you need. You need a Savior. You need the Savior. The only Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, for neither is there salvation in any other. There's the man. That's the first thought. Secondly, look at the moment. It says there in verse number 2, the same came to Jesus by night. Now, whenever you look at those words, friend, let me tell you, that was a convenient moment, because let me be honest. This man would have never made it to the Lord Jesus by day, because when the Lord Jesus Christ was going around doing good, as the Bible says, this man couldn't have got to the Lord Jesus Christ and spend time and have a private conversation. No, the Savior was busy. And that would prevent the private conversation which this man needed about his soul. It was a convenient moment. It was a concealing moment. Because I believe this man in reality came by night because he was afraid. What would others say? What the others in the Sanhedrin say, if they saw this man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, this great teacher, this influential teacher, this ruler of the Jews, coming to talk to this despised preacher. What would they say? And so we came to Jesus by night. The interesting thing is, friend, three times in the Bible it tells us about Nicodemus. And in each one of them, it mentions this very thought. The one who came to Jesus by night. The one who came to Jesus by night. John's Gospel chapter 7. John's Gospel chapter 19. As well as John's Gospel chapter 3. He was the one that came to Jesus by night. But friend, I believe it speaks to me something else. I believe the statement that the Holy Ghost said there, the one who came to Jesus by night, was emphasizing something else. It spoke of the darkness of his heart. He was in the night. He was filled with a religious teaching. He was doing the religious practices. And yet spiritually, he was in absolute darkness. And that's the position of every sinner. Because let me tell you, the Lord Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. You need the Lord Jesus, friend. Why? Because you're in darkness. You're in the darkness of your sin. You're in the darkness of your spiritual ignorance. And humanly speaking, friend, I want to tell you this, there is no man that can take away that spiritual ignorance but the blessed Holy Spirit of God that can open your eyes and open your heart. I was telling those in the prayer meeting on Thursday night about a man in the House of Commons sitting at the table in conversation to me about talking about Jonah. The preacher had talked about Jonah in his church. And he said, you know, Jonah spent 3 days and three nights, and he was saying, you know, how would an unbeliever understand such a thing? How a man could spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish? He said, how could you get them to understand it? I said, you can't. You can't. See, it's only the Spirit of God can open a man's heart. It's only the Spirit of God that can open a man's understanding. I want to tell you, the Bible doesn't say that God made a fish. It said God made a great fish. It wasn't just a fish, it was a great fish. And the God who made it knew exactly why he was making that fish. It was all a part of God's sovereign plan. And I said, listen, with God, all things are possible. He could not only spend 3 days in it, he could spend 33 days if God had planned it that way. But God. See, friend, how do I believe that? By faith. By faith. And the blessed Spirit of God works in my heart and gives me the gift of faith. And that faith is exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not of man. This is a work of God. This is the work of God. And here you are tonight and you're not saved. You tell me, why are you not saved? I'll tell you why. Because you're still in the darkness. You say to me, preacher, I've heard you preach so often about need of salvation. I don't understand. I can't get it. Friend, and that's true. That's true. Because of the natural man, you can't. These are the things of God. These are spiritual things. The natural man cannot comprehend the things that are of God. It is the mighty power of the Spirit of God that can change a man's life and change a man's heart, as we'll see in this passage of God's truth. We've looked at the man. We've looked at the moment. Look at the master. Look at verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, now, what did the man say to the Lord Jesus? He said, thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Friend, that was not why the man came to Jesus that night. The man was flowering up the conversation. But I tell you, Jesus didn't carry it on. You see, sometimes people try to skirt around the subject. The sad thing is this. Quite often the preachers skirt around the subject. And I've heard men standing in the pulpit, and I want to tell you this, my friend. They'll not go straight to the bullseye. They skirt around the subject. My, you'll hardly hear them mention the blood or the cross. And don't talk about man's sin. Or don't talk about hell. That'll only annoy the congregation. Or the judgment of God. Or the need of salvation. Let me tell you, he said, Master, thou art a teacher. Now, he was very respectful to Jesus, but let me tell you, that man came to Jesus, by the very fact that he came to Jesus that day, there was something deeper in his heart. Not simply to talk, thou art a teacher come from God. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ looked right into that man's heart. And this is what Jesus said. Look at verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, this man came in the night, he was in his darkness. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked into that man's heart, friend, and the Lord wasn't interested in compliments of how well he taught. This man was on his way to hell. He needed Jesus. He needed the gospel. He needed God's salvation. He needed pardon for his sin. He needed peace within his soul. You notice how Jesus fixed him? Verily, verily. Now you see, is that just a term? No, friend. That's the solemnity. You see, every time that Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, or of a truth, I say unto you. That was a manner that was employed by Christ when he was speaking of something momentous. Something of weighty significance. You study the scriptures, friend, and you'll find when the Lord Jesus Christ said it twice, verily, verily, truly, truly, of a truth, of a truth. He emphasizes it. He doesn't only say it once. He says, of a truth, of a truth. I say unto you. That's solemnity. But then notice the substance. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot experience the kingdom of God, friend. If you want to know about God and how to enter into God's kingdom, the only way, friend, is the new birth. It's by a new birth. And the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again. And then go to verse number 7. Jesus looked into his eyes and he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. It's clear. The new birth. There was an old preacher, his name was George Whitefield. And George Whitefield preached to congregations of people, let me tell you, tens of thousands he preached. And there wasn't a microphone. And yet it was said of George Whitefield that when he preached to 25,000 people, the person in the back row could hear every word he said. And George Whitefield used to hold open-air meetings all over the place, and as he went to those open-air meetings, quite often he would preach and he would announce his text, and he says, my text is John 3, verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He went to another meeting and he announced his text, and he says, my text is John 3, 7. Except a man be born again. And he preached it many times, and a person came to him one day and he says, Mr. Whitefield, tell me, why do you preach so often upon John 3, 7, you must be born again? He says, that's very simple. Because you must be born again. That's why I preach it. You must be born again. And here, my friend, is what the preacher needs to emphasize. Here's a great truth. Here's a solemn truth. Listen to these words. Except a man be born again. Woman, that takes you into. Except you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. You need the new birth. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Now here's the mystery. Very quickly, go to verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto Jesus, how can these things be? Now you remember who he was, friend. He was a master of Israel. He was one of the most influential teachers. He was a man of intellect. He was a man of teaching. He was a man of knowledge. He was a man of understanding. Aye. In religious things. And yet he couldn't understand this at all. And you know what he did? In his understanding, this great teacher, he brought it down when Jesus mentioned the birth, the new birth. He brought it down to the level of the natural. He said, tell me. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb. You see, friend, with all his knowledge, with all his religiosity, he was as dark as night. Why? Because there's two types of people, and those that are in the prayer meeting on Thursday night have understand this in 1 Corinthians. There's the natural man, and there's a spiritual man. You say, what's the natural man, preacher? The natural man is a man that was born the first time with the nature, in the natural way. Jesus said, you must be born again. A new birth. Something that is not natural. And that brings me to the next thought, my friend. That brings me to the miracle. Because that's what it is. It's the miracle of the new birth. The Lord Jesus said in verse 5, verily, verily, there it is again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then he said this, that which was born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That's a new beginning. That's a new birth. That's something new. You know, sometimes, and I believe probably in Nicodemus's life, I don't know what the things were troubling him. I don't know what was happening, but perhaps with all his position, with all his respectability, with all his religion, there was something troubling him. And maybe deep in his heart, you know, he was wondering, I only wish I could start all over again. There's people in this service tonight, and let me tell you, in your life, you have said perhaps many times in your own heart, if only I had the opportunity to start it all over again, I would do it differently. But friend, you have only one life. That's all you got. But you do need a new start. You say to me, can I get the past dealt with? Can I get the past put away? It's troubling me. It's burdening me. It's breaking my heart. Preacher, if you knew, the past is always before my eyes and I need it dealt with. It's troubling me. I can't sleep because of the guilt of the past. I need a new start. Friend, to be honest, you need a new birth. You need a new birth. And that's the miracle. You see, that which was born of the flesh is flesh. You had a natural birth. And that in itself is certainly a miracle. Every time that God gave Anne and I the little children and we were born into the world, I tell you, you examine the little fingers, you examine the little toes, and you know, just like the psalmist, they are fearfully and they're wonderfully made. What a miracle is the first birth. But friend, let me tell you, we were all born with a natural bent. What was that? Sin. Born in sin. The Bible tells us that we were estranged from our mother's womb. The Bible tells us, we preached it last Sunday night, we were children of wrath. The Bible tells us that in our natural standing and state before God, we are under the sentence of sin because the wages of sin is death. And therefore we're under the sentence of death. And we dare not face God in our sin. We'll never enter into the kingdom of God like that. We'll never enter into heaven like that. Because the word of God says, "Not that defileth shall ever enter in." Well then, preacher, how can I get in? Except a man be born again. Ye must be born again. Now here's the miracle. And I know time's going quickly, but I must say these things. Verse number 5, let's go to it. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Now some people have latched on to those words, "except a man be born of water." And you know what they try to turn that into? They try to turn that into baptismal regeneration. And they say you need to be baptized to be saved. Baptismal regeneration. Let me tell you, my friend, that's not what the Word of God's talking about at all. And I'll tell you why. Can water get you into heaven? If you were baptized and they dropped a few drops of water on your head as a child, does that make you a child of God, friend? There are people who believe that. There are people who are told at their earliest days that if the preacher takes the little one in their arms and drops a few drops of water, it makes them a child of God, an heir of the kingdom, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, friend. There's only one problem. It does nothing of the sort. It might make them wetter, but not make them any better. A few drops of water from a preacher's hand that somehow changes the soul of a man and changes the nature of a man and changes the destiny of man. And so they say, but Jesus said, except a man be born of water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's baptism and regeneration. It's nothing of the sort. If that was true, friend, then nobody would have been saved before the days of John the Baptist. Because search the Old Testament, you find baptism in it. You get me it. If that was so, my friend, the thief on the cross would be in hell. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He wasn't baptized. Because he's on the cross. I want to tell you, the Old Testament, God doesn't change his standard. From the time that Adam sinned in the garden, this is what God says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Not without a few drops of water. It's without the shedding of blood. If baptism means salvation, then tell me this. Why did Paul and Silas not say to the Philippian jailer when he asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Tell me, what did they say to him? "Get baptized and be saved." No, friend, he didn't say this. He said this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Put your faith and trust in what Christ did upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If baptism is essential for salvation, friend, then why does it say in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, it is not of works, lest any man should boast." You say, preacher, well, what does this mean then, born of water? It is a symbol of the Word of God. The Word of God. Just keep your hand there for a moment. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, it says, verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." You see, friend, we need the preaching of the word. How shall they hear without a preacher? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing what? By the word of God. The word of God. And so the Savior was referring not to baptism. He was referring to the word of God. And then it says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit takes the word. And the Holy Spirit of God applies the word. And through the foolishness of preaching, God is ordained to save them believe, because no sinner is quickened except apart from the Spirit of God, as God takes the word. I've been standing preaching tonight, and the Holy Spirit of God can take that word, friend, and let me tell you, by the miracle of God's grace, through the foolishness of preaching, and by the working of the Spirit of God in your heart, God can open your eyes. And you can see it. I need Jesus. You need to be born of God. You had a natural birth. You were born of your mother. You need to be born of God. Born from above. Life given by God. And the word goes forth in the power of the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, and here's a last thought, the must. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Why did Jesus say marvel not? I'll tell you why. Because Nicodemus was startled by it. Nicodemus was filled with religion. He thought that he was all right. He thought that was all he needed. As long as I have a formality of religion, a formality of a belief in a God who loves me, that's all I need. And Jesus says, marvel not that I said unto thee, Nicodemus. Yes, you, religious Nicodemus. Self-righteous Nicodemus, tithing Nicodemus, ritualistic Nicodemus, I said unto thee. Now I'm not talking to somebody behind you. I'm talking to you. He said, ye must be born again. And then I want to say this tonight. Except you experience the new birth and the life of God in your soul, except you're born again of the Spirit of God and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will never enter the kingdom of God. You'll never be saved. You need the Lord Jesus. And thank God tonight, Jesus saves. Will you come to him? Will you let the Lord Jesus Christ work in your heart tonight? Will you surrender your life to the Lord and take your place as a sinner, guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinner? And by faith receive Jesus. The Spirit of God bring life eternal to your soul. For the gift of God is eternal life. Life for all eternity. Thank God the past can be blotted out. Thank God there is a new start, a new birth. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away and all things become new. May God give you grace to call him tonight, Lord. Let that be wrought in my heart. Lord, save me. Save me now.